We love your pastor and his family dearly. Wonderful friends. It'll be 2 years in September since we've been called back to Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood, which is where I started in the ministry. The Lord has brought me back. And I want to thank you for your faithful prayers. They're so appreciated, and your financial support. It's so very encouraging to Sharon and I, and it's just been such a wonderful blessing. And we thank you for everything that you do on our behalf. And we know it's for the glory of God. I'd like tonight to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5. I prepared a message on what is revival. And I never did, even though I prepared the whole thing, never got the liberty to preach it. So that's not what we're preaching on tonight, but we do need revival. I'm not preaching on what is revival, but what we're going to preach will certainly take care of it. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through verse 26. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way that might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, the paralytic, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk?' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, go into thine house.' And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" What we read here is Luke's account of Jesus healing a paralytic. Matthew records this in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Mark records it in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Again, what we see is this man is carried on a bed by four individuals to where Christ was, and Christ healed him. By way of background leading up to what we've just read. Back in Mark 4, verse 31, we see Jesus arriving in Capernaum. He teaches in the synagogue. He does so in such a manner that the people are astonished with his doctrine and his teaching. In that same synagogue, he would deliver a man from the oppressive power of a demon, which also left the people amazed and talking amongst themselves. As a result of that, we read in verse 37 that the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. As a result, we're told in verse 38 that he left the synagogue and he went to Simon's house. So Simon had a house in Capernaum. Mark, in his account, in Mark 2:29, tells us that it was the house of Simon and Andrew. And he also tells us that James and John were there as well. In that house, Jesus would heal Peter's mother-in-law. News spread that Jesus was in the house. And we learn in verses 40 and 41 that as the sun was setting, a great multitude had gathered at that house, bringing with them the diseased and the possessed, and Jesus healed them. From verse 42 of Mark 4, we read that the next morning, Jesus departed, and he went to a desert place. Verse 43 and 44, we see him preaching throughout Galilee. And Luke, in the verses prior to our text, gives account of what transpired there in Galilee. In chapter 5 and verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it's at this point that Mark chapter 2 verse 1 comes in, and it was noise that he was in the house. And that's where we pick up our text. And in Mark 2:2, we read that many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, not so much as about the door. Luke tells us here in verse 17 that there was the power or the ability and the strength and the authority of the Lord was present to heal them. That's still so. Every single day. No matter what is wrong, that is so every single day. The Lord is here, and he can heal. With the gathering of this great multitude, it is stated that he preached unto them. Now, he's back in Capernaum. He has returned. That's why Mark says he was there again. So he's come back. He was there in verse 41. He leaves, and now he's back. And our text records the bringing of this paralytic to this house where Jesus would heal this man. In verse 18, they sought means to bring him in and to lay him, notice two words, before him. That was their desire, to lay this man, this paralytic, before Jesus. In verse 19, we see that the paralytic is before Jesus. And in verse 20, we read, and when he, Jesus, saw their faith. So we see this man, his position before Jesus. Whoever you are tonight, that's where you need to be. Before Jesus. Whatever's going on in your life, that's where you need to be. Before Jesus. So we see his position, and we read of the faith that brought him to this place. Before Jesus. Every day, we need to get before Jesus. And there is a faith that is required to get us there. And that's what we want to preach upon this evening, a faith that brings us before Jesus. But first of all, just consider this position. Before Jesus. Before Jesus. Again, verse 19. They led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now look at verse 19. There's three words, three prepositions that indicate position or location there in verse 19. Notice, into, speaking of position, location, the word midst, and the word before. Now, the word into speaks of the house that he was in. He's not part of the crowd outside. He's in the house. The word midst describes his location in relation to the house. He's in the house. He's in the midst of the house. Now we know there's a great multitude, so he's surrounded on all sides by people. And then you have the word before. That describes the location in relation to Jesus. He is before Jesus. So he's in the house. He's in the middle of the house. People on all sides. And most importantly, he is before Jesus. And there he is, lying upon his bed before Jesus. Get a picture in your mind. There he is. Before Jesus. Laying upon a bed. And we see him there in the midst. Before Jesus. There were a lot of other people there. A lot of other people with Jesus that day. But not like this man. He is before Jesus in a different way than all the rest in that house. He is before Jesus in a way that no one else was. Those two words, before Jesus, distinguish him from all others in the house. In a very special way, he's before Jesus. I must ask, could he have been in a better place? Before Jesus. Before Jesus. That's a position we need to seek every day. A lot of things would never happen in our lives. A lot of things we would never do if we were before Jesus. He's in a position where he can feel the very presence of Jesus Christ. He did not get stuck in the multitude outside of the house. He did not get stuck upon the roof because of the difficulties that were there. But this man, sick of the palsy, upon his bed, is lowered through the roof, and he's in the midst, but he's before Jesus. And there he is, in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Outside, when he was in that multitude and upon the rooftop, he knew that Christ was in that house. He knew of the presence of Christ, but now he's before Jesus. Big difference. Big difference. People will say all the time, We go to the house of God and the Lord is there. Yes, He is. But do you feel His presence? Big difference. A lot of times we're in the house, but it's like we're outside of the house. This man is before Jesus. So he is moved from knowing of Christ's presence to being in Christ's presence. And now he's able to feel the actual physical presence of Jesus Christ. Though he's in the midst, there are other people all around him, and there's other things going on all around him, he feels in a very special way the presence of Christ like no one else in that house felt. He is before Jesus in such a way that it was just like it was him and Jesus. That's it. People all around. But it was as if it was just he and the Lord. We need that. We need that in every church service. Though there's people all around us, we need to be before Jesus in such a way that it's just like just me and him. He's before Jesus. That's a place of great possibility. That's a place of hope. That's a place of assurance. It's a place of peace. It's a place where you can know all is well. All around you may be falling apart, but when you're before Jesus in this way, you know all is well. He's in the place to be. And oh, how every day we need to get to this place before Jesus. It is a position where he can see Jesus Christ. He is before Jesus, and from his bed he could look up and he could see Jesus Christ standing there. And I'm absolutely certain that he did not just cast a careless gaze in the direction of Jesus Christ. Again, there's people all around him. There's a lot going on. But his eyes are fixed upon Jesus Christ. His eyes are fixed upon Christ. And from that standpoint, from that position, everything feels different and everything looks different. We need to get to that place every day before Jesus. It is a position where he can hear Jesus Christ. There were a lot of other noises going on all around him. I'm sure there were conversations going on. But he's in a place where he can hear Jesus very clearly. And it is before Jesus that he heard those words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And all the peace that flooded his soul when Jesus spoke those words. Could he have been in a better place that day? No, he's in the place to be. Before Jesus, everything feels different. We don't always feel right. I'm not talking physically. I mean, we just get out of sorts. You don't get that way before Jesus. That takes care of that. Everything feels different. Everything looks different. Everything sounds different. We need to get to that place. He's in a position where he receives instruction from Christ. He's instructed in verse 24. "Arise, take up thy couch, You have never heard those words outside in the multitude. But now he's in a position where he can heal the instructor very clearly. Had he stayed outside with the multitude, he may have gotten all kinds of advice. But you got to get before Jesus to get the best instruction. And Jesus said, "Arise, take up that couch." It was faith that brought him to this place before Jesus. And it would require faith to follow the instruction of Christ. Arise. He can't do that. He's paralyzed. But here, he would have the faith to follow the instruction. He couldn't have been in a better place. He's in a position where he can experience and receive from Christ. Before Jesus, he can now personally experience and receive his power. Notice verse 25. Following the instruction. And immediately, he rose up before them. That's not all he did. He took up that whereon he lay. So it was before Jesus that he was enabled to do the impossible. There's enabling power before Jesus. The Lord gives us instruction. And we say many times, "I can't do that." What we're really saying is, "I won't do that. And I don't want to do that." But you can do it if you're before Jesus. There's enabling power in that place. So it was before Jesus, laying there on that bed, Jesus said, "Arise." And I believe this man received at that very moment, and he felt something he never felt before. He felt the strength in his legs and in his limbs that enabled him to get up from the bed in which he was carried. And now there he is standing. And where is he standing? Before Jesus. It was before Jesus that this man was able to reach down and pick up his bed. He didn't do that outside in the multitude. He didn't do that up on the rooftop. He had to get before Jesus to do this. This is where we find enabling power. So rather than saying, "I can't, I can't, I can't," get before Jesus. And you'll be amazed at what you can do. Amen. The power that we find before Jesus. So look at him. He's standing there. Standing there before all. And he's holding his bed. That bed in which he was carried, he's now holding. Where did that happen? Before Jesus. Before Jesus. So there he is. He's the recipient of a miracle. But he's more than that. He's a miracle. He's not just the recipient of a miracle. He is a miracle. Where did it happen? Before Jesus. I'm telling you, this is the place to be. Before Jesus. He's in a position where a great change took place. People will say, "Well, I'm trying to change." Well, here's some advice. Quit trying and get before Jesus. That's where it'll happen. That's where it'll happen. This will be change that lasts. This man did not get stuck outside in the multitude. Had he done so, he would have been carried back home on his pallet. Once they got him up on the roof, he didn't get stuck there either. Had he done so, they would have had to carry him back home. And life would have just continued on as a man with the palsy. But instead, he's lowered down through the roof. He's in the midst before Jesus. And there, he was enabled to rise from his bed. He was enabled to pick up his bed. Notice the order. Arise. It's not pick up your bed and then arise. That doesn't make sense. It's arise. And now he's able to, the same strength that enabled him to get up from the bed is the same strength that allows him to bend over and pick up his bed. And there he stands with his bed in his hands. And verse 25 says that he departed to his own house, glorifying God. Amen. He was changed. Amen. And where did it happen? Before Jesus. I can imagine that the man was, as he was brought to that house, can kind of see him just bouncing on this cot. And I'm sure there might have been some moans and some groans along the way. But no one had to carry him home. He walked home. Amen. Because he was changed. And there were no moans and groans. But he went home glorifying God. A lot of the complaining, a lot of the moaning and groaning gets taken care of before Jesus. Perhaps the four went with him. We assume they did. And perhaps they said to him along the way, "You must be getting tired. Why don't you lay down? And we'll carry you." He said, "No, I can do this." And he praised God. And he praised God. He went home walking. He went home carrying his bed. He went home glorifying God. And all this change took place before Jesus. We're not told, but eventually he arrives home. I don't know if the man was married or had children or grandchildren. We don't know. But he returned home a new man that day. And where did it happen? Before Jesus. Before Jesus. Perhaps they could see him coming down the road. Those that were in his house. Something's happened. He's walking. I believe he's doing more than walking. He was probably jumping up and down, leaping, skipping, hopping, doing everything he could. And praising God. He was able to walk in the door. No one had to hold it open for him. He was able to open it himself. Everything in his home had changed. His home life changed. You want your home to change? Get before Jesus. When everybody in that home is before Jesus, everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. Same way in a church. It's the responsibility of every single church member to get before Jesus. That's a revival. He arrived home. He was able to walk in the door. No one had to assist him. Perhaps there were those, his loved ones, says, "Oh, let me help you." But he said, "Oh, that's okay. I can do it." And he praised God again. All this took place before Jesus. There's life-changing power before Jesus. We need to get there every day. We need to get there. Are you there right now? Before Jesus. People all around us. But are you, personally, before Jesus? So let's consider the faith that brought him before Jesus. And we need this faith. First of all, there was a recognized and felt need. Do you feel? Do you recognize and feel spiritual needs? We can say, Lord, revive us. But when we say that, do we see the need? Do we so see it that we feel it? This individual and the four that carried him recognized this man is paralyzed. And they felt the need. Matthew referred to this paralytic three times. He used the phrase sick of the palsy. Mark used the phrase five times. And Luke uses the phrase one time. That's nine times. Nine times we are told that this man was sick of the palsy. There was a need. There was a need. Luke tells us, here in Luke 5:24, that he was a man who was taken, or Luke 5:18, he was taken with a palsy. That's even stronger language. That means he was overtaken. He was overcome. He was seized with this problem. He has a condition of incapacity. He has a condition of helplessness. His condition was real. It affected his entire life. There are spiritual palsies that come upon us that are very real. And they affect our entire life. But you know what we can very easily do, and we do? We learn to live with it. We adapt to it. It's not a good place to be. Palsy was this man's life. The four who carried him knew he was paralytic. They recognized his condition. The four who carried him and the man who was carried realized that there was a need. And it was a need beyond themselves. Oh, quit saying, I'm trying. It is a need beyond yourself. You need to get before Jesus. It's a need beyond all human ability. We all have them. And I'm speaking of spiritual. These five individuals, four men who carried them, and the one laying on the cot. They knew they were in need of a miracle. Do we know that today? Oh, we say we do. We say we do. Oh, we need to be revived. But do we really know it? I don't think so. I don't think most do. Because if they did, things would be different than how they are. There was a desire concerning this need. So they recognize a need, and there's a desire for something to be done. They desired this man to be rid of his paralysis. The four wanted this. The man on the cot wanted it. They wanted him to be able to walk, to have his life restored. So there is a realization of a great need. And there is a longing desire concerning that need. In light of this, remember Jesus was there. Realize tonight that you have spiritual needs. Desire something to be done regarding that spiritual need. And remember, Jesus is here. You need to get before him. There was faith in the person of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four and the faith of the paralyzed individual. Faith must have an object to act upon. Jesus was the object. Jesus was the object of their faith. In verse 18 of Luke chapter 5, again, they had a desire to lay him before Jesus. They had a need. They had a longing desire for that need to be met. And Jesus was there, and it's their desire. We've got to get him before Jesus. They were convinced, they were persuaded that Jesus is bigger than the paralysis. We've got to get this man before Jesus. And that is true today. Whatever our spiritual condition, whatever our spiritual need is, whatever our spiritual paralysis is, Jesus Christ is bigger than the paralysis. We need to get before him because he's bigger than the paralysis. They believed, they were convinced that he is able to deliver this man from his paralysis. He's able to cure him. He's able to restore his life. They were convinced of it. This faith moved them in the direction of Christ. They know that Jesus is in that house. They have a need. They know that Jesus is bigger than that need. And that Jesus is able. So they do what makes sense. They move in that direction. Why is it so many times people say, yes, I have this need, but they move in the opposite direction of the one who can help them? And then they wonder why. Well, why is my life this way? Move in the direction of Christ. If we're not moving in the direction of Christ, we're going the wrong way. That's true every single time. Move in the direction of Christ. Now, we're not told anything of this trip prior to their arriving at the house. But I'm sure that along the way, there were some obstacles. There were some difficulties. There were some rough spots. And there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be rough spots. But their faith would not allow them to be deterred from Jesus. Their faith would not allow them to be distracted or bogged down at any point of the journey. And how many today are bogged down in the journey? They've been deterred. And now they're no longer moving in the direction of Christ. Their faith Move them beyond the obstacles that were between them and Christ. We must get before Jesus. Whatever is between us and that has to be overcome. That's faith. Faith overcomes. There will always be obstacles in our pursuit of Christ. Always. Now, I don't know what they expected when they got to the house. But I don't think they were expecting what they saw. A multitude of people where they couldn't even get in the door. I'm sure they were disappointed. But they didn't get stuck there. I get disappointed a lot. The key is don't get stuck there. When you get angry, don't get stuck there. Verse 18 of our text, they saw it means to bring him in. Their faith caused them to pursue a nearness to Christ. Yes, there's people in the way. People will always be in the way. And the person that gets in the way more than anybody is ourselves. But they had this overwhelming desire. We've got to get near to Jesus. We've got to get to where He is. People are in the way. And I picture them, they go over here with the pallet, and then they go over here, and they're just trying to make a way through the crowd. And they can't. There's a barrier between them and Christ. We all have them. There isn't a person sitting here that doesn't have barriers in their life between us and Christ. They're there. Question is, what do we do? The paralytic did not instruct the four who were carrying him, just forget it. Just take me back home. I'll just live the rest of my life this way. Had he done so, he'd have remained crippled. But that's not what he did. That's not what they did. They would not allow the people to keep them from an experience of Christ. People complain all the time. Well, I would, but... And here comes the excuse. They've allowed something to get in the way. And they stop. People can get in the way. Circumstances can get in the way. I'm sure there was frustration as they tried to work their way through that crowd. But they didn't get stuck there. They didn't get stuck there. And eventually, they climb up on the roof. No easy task carrying a man on a stretcher. They've risen above. We need a faith that rises us above the people. People are always going to get in the way. You need the faith to cause you to rise above the people. They get up on the roof. Now, there's another problem. The roof's in the way. Always an obstacle. So I picture them walking around that roof. Listening, trying to figure out where Jesus is in that house. They pinpoint the place where they think He is. They uncover the roof where He was. They break it up. And they let the man down before Jesus. Persevering faith brought this man before Jesus. We need persevering faith. We live in a society that has very little perseverance. Our society cannot stand any inconvenience. We're not a very persevering people. I'm speaking as a nation. We're not a very persevering people. We need to persevere spiritually. Before Jesus, whatever the situation, whatever the condition, whatever the need, we need to be before Him. Notice it's in the midst before Jesus. In the midst of all your cares and all your burdens, it needs to be before Jesus. You're going to have cares. You're going to have burdens. You can deal with them outside of Christ, or you can deal with them before Jesus. Guess which is easier? It may be in the midst of difficulties and problems. Well, I've got this difficulty. I've got this problem. Get before Jesus. It may be in the midst of sorrows and heartaches, but it needs to be before Jesus. It may be in the midst of anguish and distress, but it needs to be before Jesus. It may be in the midst of trials and pressures, but it needs to be before Jesus. It may be in the midst of confusion. It may be in the midst of anxiety, disappointments and chaos, but it needs to be before Jesus. In the midst of all the obstacles, of all the impossibilities, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of all the dead ends and the fear, get before Jesus. Do that every single day. It takes faith. You can't just sit here and say, you know what, starting tonight, I'm going to do that. You won't. Because you just can't make up your mind to do that. You have to have faith. You have to have persevering faith. So, am I before Jesus? Am I? Sitting here in the house of God. Am I before Jesus? Or am I stuck somewhere else? If stuck, you need to pray that God give you the faith to rise above it. That's the only way you're getting out. What is there between myself and before Jesus? There may be many things. But what is it? Again, I promise you, all of us have something stands between us and a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone will say, well, I'm quite satisfied with my relationship with Christ. Well, you shouldn't be, because it can be better. Amen. You can have more. That's always so. It doesn't matter. You take the most spiritual person here. That's so. You can be more spiritual. You can be more. So we should never be satisfied. What is it that I allow to come between me and before Jesus? There's a lot of things that we just allow in our lives. There's a lot of things that we bring into our lives. We bring in our own obstacles. We are our own obstacles. What is it that I put between myself and before Jesus. Christianity is a relationship with Christ. And it is a growing relationship with Christ. It's not just knowing things about Christ. It's a relationship, a growing relationship. And that relationship grows in His presence, just like any other. It grows before Him. Before Jesus, this is the place to be. It's the place to be. Because it's there that you can feel His presence. You can see Him. You can hear Him. You experience Him. You receive from Him. It's a place where change takes place. I'm convinced that we don't want thorough change. Oh, we can handle a little change here, a little change there. But let's not get carried away. We need to get carried away. Every one of us. And if every single one of us, you want to know what a church revival is? It's when every member of that church gets before Jesus. And it happens. The revival takes place. That's where it happens, before Jesus. You can't stay in a bad condition before Jesus. It's not possible. It's not possible to be discouraged before Jesus. Do we get discouraged? Of course we do. But you can't stay that way before Jesus. It's just not possible. Need to get before Him. That means you must have the faith to overcome everything that's in the way. Whatever it is. Whatever you think it is. A lot of times we just think something's in the way and it's really not even there. We invent our own obstacles. We imagine our own obstacles. There's enough obstacles without you and I imagining more. But we're good at that. Because Satan wants to keep us from getting before Jesus. Before Jesus. Are you there? Are you there this night? What is your position in relation to Christ? Brother Randy.